Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number, Joe at RTE.ie. The first four calls are Lorraine, Mary, Noel and John are on about in various different shapes or forms or incarnations. The Road Safety Authority, let's go to Lorraine first, and the driving test. You say, I will never take the driving test again. How many times have you taken it, Lorraine?
I've taken it, nine times.
Have you passed?
I passed on the ninth time.
Okay, and what was the problem? Yeah. Over nine times in many years?
God, from 2004, really.
Yeah.
To 2019. 2019, I passed my test.
It took you 15 years?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But you kept going, so to speak.
I kept going. It's a very nerve-wracking.
Well, was that the problem with the test? You did keep going when the instructor said stop.
No. We're not that silly. It's a very nerve-wracking for anyone out there now, then, because the rules and everything are changed and, you know, so many deaths on the road and stuff.
Yeah. So go back to 20 years ago, 2004. We've gone back to 2004 when there was... You're back, Lorraine. Go back to 2004.
2004, I lived away for 7 years, and I came home and I done my driving test in the Midlands.
Okay.
And it was very nerve-wracking, and it didn't really help because the tester wasn't that nice. So you kind of shout, because you do get testers that do shout at you, and there's absolutely no need for it, and I actually failed the test.
And what do you mean, don't even give the gender, what do you mean he or she... Are they shouted at you?
Just you're doing that wrong. How long are you driving?
Okay.
You know, you're actually, you know, you're there for the 35 minutes, and you're trying to concentrate in the road, and you're trying to do the handbrake and everything, and it's just very nerve wracking. Really nerve wracking.
How soon into the test, Lorraine, did you realise you were going to fail it?
I failed it at the start of the test because I had a car. I had an Audi A2, and the Audi A2, you have to take off the bonnet. Was it an Audi A2? Yeah, you had to take off the bonnet. So you normally, when the tester says, now come along, we look at the dipstick and all that, and I explained to him, I have to take the bonnet off, and he said, no, you don't. You have to take the bonnet off, and I have to put on grass. And he wasn't too happy about that, and he marked me, and I knew then that he failed me over the bonnet.
He failed you over the bonnet, but... Could you not lift the bonnet?
I lifted the bonnet, no problem, but I was putting the bonnet back on, even though I was shown about 10 times how to do it. I put the bonnet back on eventually, but it was delaying his time for his next, exactly. It was delaying his time for his next tester to come along.
But just to come back to the bonnet, Lorraine, sorry. You're saying in the car you had for the test, you couldn't just pop a button and the bonnet pops and lifts up.
No,
you had to remove it. You had to remove it completely from the car.
Remove it off, take it off. Yeah, if you look at an Audi A2, take off the bonnet, lift it onto grass or onto the pavement, and
who invented that?
I don't know. Have a look at an Audi A2. You'll see it.
Okay, so the instructor wasn't familiar with that procedure, was he?
Well, the tester wasn't. No.
The tester, sorry, yeah, the tester.
Yeah,
okay, so you believe that was it? It was all over the bonnet, so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay, and how did that finish up? Did he say, come in and I'll talk to you? And
I went
give
back
you a few
in with
tips.
Him and he didn't give me any tips. He said, you failed, and I said, thanks very much, and I walked away.
Oh, God, were you upset?
I was, but I kind of knew I wouldn't pass my test. You always have that thing at the back of your mind. It's really hard, like you're going to do that test and you're going to get yourself ready. And then when you're in the driving seat, it's totally different.
Of course.
Totally different.
Okay.
You
So that was 204. The bonnet, you had to take off the bonnet of the car completely to do the dipstick test. So next time, out of your 15-year campaign, what was the, do you remember the next occasion?
Yeah, I was in the Midlands. I went to Midlands and done it three times in the Midlands. Very nice testers, really nice, brought me in, told me I did fail, but told me like what I was doing wrong. I was coaxing the clutch. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't using my handbrake.
Coasting, so okay.
Yeah, yeah. Coasting. But they were very good.
Okay. And by the way, are you moving, when you're doing the tests in different places, I know you did at Mullingar, you failed three times. Was that with the same instructor?
No, it was totally different instructors.
Okay. Okay. No, sorry.
Like testers.
Different testers. Okay. Yeah. So you failed thrice in Mullingar. So where did you move to next?
I went to Tullamore and I failed three times. And then I went to Mullingar and I failed three times. And then where else did I go? I went back. I went to Tullamore. Let me see. Tullamore. I think I went back to Naas and done it, and so on the 8th, this is the 8th, so the 9th time I went to one place, and a doctor actually told me to do it, his son passed it, and in this place, in Birr, in County Offaly.
Okay.
And he said...
Why is Birr better?
It's all one-way streets.
Ah.
Yeah, and you can't go wrong.
And you didn't,
And I didn't, and I passed it, and I couldn't believe it. I was actually shocked. Yeah, yeah.
Now, do you think, Lorraine, you should have, based on your performance, that you should have passed it earlier? Sorry.
Oh, I should have, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, somebody... I've never heard of this before, but I totally believe you that. To take the bonnet off an Audi A2... You have to actually lift the bonnet off, remove it completely, place it down on the roadway or a grass verge beside you.
Yeah.
So who invented that lunacy?
I know, that's why I got rid of it.
Now, I see someone else is texting. There is a simpler way, 51551 is the text, there's a simpler way of getting at the dipstick in an Audi A2 without removing the bonnet, if you flick down the front grill. Did you know that?
Okay. No, I didn't know that.
If you flick...
It
would have been handy. But you're right. To get at the engine in an Audi A2, there is no mechanism to lift the bonnet and look under the bonnet, so to speak. You have to look over at the bonnet because the bonnet is on the grass beside the car.
Yeah.
Okay. It's, by the way, the cost of the test these days is 85 quid. How are you driving now? Are you feel okay and confident? And
yeah, I at the start when I passed my test, I was still very like my instructor, the tester, gave me a few tips, and he was a lovely man, and and then my instructor told me to follow the steps that he told me, and I still do it. I look at the most important thing in a test. Is your head movement? Is the middle mirror, the both mirrors at the side, your neck? And I still do it when I drive.
Okay. Well, the mirrors are really important.
That's what they watch out for. Yeah. And the hand signals is another thing. I know in this day and age we don't really use them. The guards use them, like maybe if there's traffic lights out, but they are important as well. And if you don't know them, they will fail you on them.
Okay. By the way, Lorraine, when you're getting insurance without a full driving license, do you have to tell them?
Go ahead, Joe.
Do you have to tell them I failed the test 6, 7, 8, 9 times?
10. Okay. No, I think you would just tell them that you're an L driver.
Stay with us, Lorraine. Joe at rt.ie 51551. John, your daughter and whose behalf you're speaking, what has been her experience? She couldn't close the bonnet. Was she in an Audi A2 as well?
Yeah,
No, not quite, Joe. No, we had a little Yaris, a little 141 Yaris.
Yeah, Toyota Yaris, yeah.
Yeah, this is our second attempt at the driving test. The first one we failed, which was fine enough, no problem.
Okay.
The second time, we normally go out maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours before the time for the test. Drive around the area, check the car, make sure the lights are working, all the usual stuff that you're told to do, which is what we did. We actually checked the bonnet.
Yeah.
Lifted her up, showed her where the oil was, showed her where the water was, went through all the...
Okay, yeah.
And the bonnet closed again, no problem.
Right.
So then we just go in and we wait to be called for the test. And the two of us are sitting in the waiting room and she goes in, answers the questions. And I went out onto the main road because I wanted to see when she comes out of the test centre, was she going left or right, going to Fingers or Ballymun. So I'm waiting out on the main road and sort of 10 minutes goes by, 15 minutes go by, and there's no sign of her.
Okay.
So I said, because I've done this testing with me two sons, so I know how it works. So I went back in, and there's my daughter in convulsions, crying in the middle of the yard.
Right.
And we had a very nice instructor. Now, not a tester, instructor. So to cut the long story short, she opened up the bonnet, but when she went to close it, it wouldn't close properly.
Ah.
And technically, the instructor or the tester was right because the bonnet was not safely secured. So he was technically right
in not bringing
her out for the test.
Okay.
But when I went back into them and seeing her crying, I went up and asked him, listen, what happened there? That bonnet was perfect when I tested it half an hour ago.
Yeah.
I said, how come? He says she couldn't close it. She had 5 attempts at it. She couldn't close it. And he said to me while I was in the waiting room, talking to him, he says, there's a little spring dangling. And I said to him, what do you mean there's a little spring dangling? He says, no, there's a little spring dangling, and that's why it couldn't close.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out to the bonnet, and the little arm that holds the bonnet.
Okay,
but
we'll move on, because, John, it's obvious, if the bonnet doesn't close, no one will drive a car. You'd be afraid your living life would flip up while you're driving. Okay, so how was your daughter got upset, obviously. Did she do the test a second time?
No, to fix the spring, Joe, took me 1 second to fix the bonnet.
Okay.
She went home very upset that day. Technically, he's right. What I'm saying, for the spirit of the law, he knew what was wrong, and there was nothing technically wrong with the bonnet. It was just a matter of putting the spring back on the oilet.
Okay.
That's an argument that we can't have with them anyway, because technically they're right. But the last time on the 22nd of July was when they cancelled the test.
Mm-hmm.
When I was actually in the waiting room, actually in the bathroom, waiting for the test. We were due to do it at 9:15 on the 22nd of July.
Yeah.
And she got an email at 8:12 on the 22nd of July, cancelling the test.
And what, you were outside, were you?
We were in the waiting room.
Okay.
I'd already done the drive around, I'd already done the vehicle testing.
Okay, third test. Third time lucky.
That was the third time. The first time we failed. The second time was the spring. The third time was the cancellation, which I got really upset about, and I sent an email into them. But as usual with these government bodies, they claimed GDPR. They couldn't talk to me because I was not the person who was doing the test.
Yeah.
So that was the fourth reply from them. So I just replied back to them and said, look, don't hide behind GDPR. Why don't you get a system that's fit for purpose? I've had my daughter, who's 20 years of age, a young adult, leave your facilities twice, very, very upset.
Yeah.
And you should never have a system that does that to young adults in the present climate, as we all know. So,
But John, hang on, John. If you're driving and you're in charge of a car, which is... Wonderful invention in the history of the world, the engine. But if you're driving in a city and you're in charge of a car, you are liable to get shouted at by irate, ignorant motorists. You could be in the wrong, they could be in the wrong. So, like...
What do you mean shouted at?
I know what you mean, but my point is, like... To drive in Ireland, you need to be pretty hardened. In a nice way.
That's what we're trying to do with the test, Joe. This is We're doing it now in a couple of weeks' time for the fourth appointment.
Okay.
We've only actually set the test once. This is our fourth appointment.
Okay. And by the way, did she have to pay the £85 every time?
We had to pay the £85 for the spring, for the bonnet.
Oh, of course,
we didn't have to pay the £85 because they cancelled on us.
Yeah, that's very good of them, yeah.
But the point is, Joe, we spent hours preparing for the test on the 22nd. So it's not just rocking up getting in the car. I spent hours with her around the area, driving to from college, putting all the time and effort in. And my point is, the RSA think they can just send an email one hour before the test.
But did they give you any... Was the tester sick or...?
Well, I talked to the supervisor. Well, eventually talked to the supervisor in the public waiting room because there's no other room to talk to them in Finglas. And eventually I got an unhelpful instructor, tester.
Okay.
And at the end of the conversation was, the tester's not here, the tester's sick, no alternative, thank you. And that was it. And that was in front of another 10 or 12 people in the same room who are waiting to do the test at 9:15. Even the guys are saying, does he get his money back for a day off, work days, holidays, all of these things.
I know. It's a big exam in people's lives. It really is. I understand that.
Especially young people, they're preparing themselves for that test at that time, if it was cancelled the day before or 2 days before, I can live with that.
Okay.
We're talking about 1 hour.
And is she nervous about the next test?
Well, all kids are nervous when they do the test. All people are nervous. Even if you or I were to do it now, we'd be nervous doing our test, you know. So, yeah, of course she will be nervous. That's a given,
Best of luck with it anyway. Thanks, John. Joe with RT.ie. Mary Finan. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi. Hello.
You know, Lorraine, the first caller, was right. The highest pass rates in the country for doing the driving test is in Burr, County Offaly, where the pass rate is 67%. Clifton at 67% in Galway. In Cork and Ballincollig, they almost have they're all Lewis Hamilton's down there. The pass rate in Ballincollig in Cork is 75.5%. The pass rate, the pass rate in Cork is Ballincollig is 75.5%. In Finglas in Dublin, it's 39.5%. Nearly half. Okay, where did you do your test, Mary Finan?
Well, originally my father brought me on to Belfield, you know, UCD Belfield.
Yes, Dublin 4.
Around 1965. Well, that's it. And he's a carpenter and he worked there. So he taught my brothers how to drive and he wasn't successful with me anyway. So I didn't do anything there until we moved to Zambia.
Okay.
My husband and myself got the ship over to Cape Town and we drove through Africa. So I decided to do my driving test there. So I had to do it four times.
Yes, and you got it.
Four times. The first time I failed because I made my own homemade L plate and he wouldn't accept that.
Okay.
The second time, I was 7 or 8 months pregnant, and he failed me again.
Why?
The third time I failed.
Why? Why
naturally.
Did he fail you? You're allowed to drive a car when you're pregnant. Why did he fail you?
I'm in Zambia now, and in those around 1970s, it might have been different, but no, he took one look at me, wouldn't even let me into the car.
Oh God!
So that was it. The third time I failed naturally. I was so nervous, and I can't remember what I did. And the fourth time I got it.
Great. So you have to test. You got it in Zambia. You came back to Ireland, and what happened?
I just continued driving. I don't know whether at that time
But you have to do the test within a year, don't you, in Ireland?
Sorry. The third time I failed, yes. When I came back to Ireland, yes, I got it. Yeah, the fourth time. That's right, yeah. Got it back in Ireland.
So you, when you came home to Ireland, you had to get an international licence for a year and you had to do the test again in Dublin. Did you do the test in Dublin?
I did. I got a test in Dublin, yeah, the first time. But I had, in the meantime, when I came back, I had plenty of practice and lessons and everything. So the fourth time I got it in Dublin.
I thought it was in Mayo that you got it.
In Castlebar. Sorry, it's Castlebar, yeah. We moved back to Dublin. I'd had a few lessons, but within a year or so, we moved to Castlebar, and in Castlebar I got it first time.
Okay,
Castlebar
is a 60% pass rate, as I say. Bower County, Offaly, 68%. Charlestown and Dublin, which is one end of Finglas, that's 39%. And then the second lowest, or tying almost for lowest, in other words, the failure rate is like 60. The failure rate is 60%. In the Carlton Hotel in the Mulhudder, they call it the Carlton Hotel site. So if you're in West Dublin, Charlestown or Mulhudder, there must be brutal drivers out there because they're all 60% of them failed the driving test.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, stay with us, Mary. I just want to bring Aidan in before he goes on me. Aidan Clancy, you spotted another thing about the RSA app. Go ahead. The floor is yours, Aidan.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. My daughter is preparing for the driver theory test. And one day earlier this week, she walked in. She's 20. She walked into the kitchen with a look of shock and horror on her face. And it takes a bit to get her out of her room early in the morning to walk into the kitchen. She's a student, but she said, "This is ridiculous." And I said, "What's ridiculous?" And she was pointing out the price of the RSA's preparatory app for the driver theory test. And I said, "How much is it?" And she points out it's $16.99.
Just for sure, most apps are free.
That's what I would have thought. They're free. Or I did a little bit of digging afterwards, and according to my Google search, the average price of an app was about 50 cents. But for whatever reason, the RSA are charging $16.99 for this app. And I began to think, surely the role of the RSA is to almost flood, particularly young drivers or potentially young drivers, with as much road safety information as they can possibly get out of them there.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I'm saying, what exactly is going on here? Why would they be charging that kind of money for something that, as you say, and I would agree, are typically
and
free?
And they're after spending money to pay the electric picnic so they could go onto the site and whatever, talk to young people. And you're saying when young people want to actually do something real, i.e. the theory test and get onto this app, they're told it's £17.
£17 for the app. And as you say, I think they should be trying to get out there, flood them with information. And the test itself is one thing, but, there's an awful lot more stuff in the app, presumably, than is actually in the test. The more information they get, the better.
I see. Yeah,
and even I thought about it myself. I wouldn't mind having a look at that app.
Same here, absolutely. Just to keep you on your toes. You say you looked up the RSA, the last available annual report, their budget. How much?
They spend about $100 million a year, according to their 2022 report. Now, some of that's taxpayers' money, but they, as far as I can see, they keep all the fees they get for driving tests, what they get for driving licences, all of that. They had about $100 million, and I think they spent $4 or $5 million of that on management consultancy. And you would think in there someplace that they could, if they couldn't do it themselves, they could get an app developed and make it available free. And as you say, all the apps are free. Met Aaron is free. RTE itself is free. TFI app, they all come free. And they're all very good, but they are free. And you'd wonder, would they be used to the same extent if we had to pay $16.99 for them? Probably not.
Well spotted, Aidan. Well spotted. That's Aidan Clancy. Noel O'Donoghue, you do a bit of driver training. Before the break, Noel, go ahead. Your point, please.
To be honest, everything so far is test. Mm-hmm. I'd love to know how many times test has been mentioned.
What does that point mean?
Well, what about teaching people how to drive safely?
Yeah, but off you go then.
First and foremost.
Off you go, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some people have said they've passed, they've failed the test this time. Yeah. John, I think, with his daughter, said he went around, he'd done a lot of work with his daughter, taught her how to drive, and then she eventually didn't get two or three tests. But everyone else is talking about driving to pass a test rather than driving safely and being safe on the roads.
Now, what's your point?
The quality of instructors.
Okay, well then make that point, please.
Yeah. So that, like, I mean, out there we've got a couple of thousand instructors. They're charging whatever the going rate is at the moment.
Well, what is it? Do you know what it is? I don't know what it is.
It varies from county to county, town to town to town. It varies. Various different people out there have franchise and systems.
What
like
is
that.
It? 50 so quid, 100 quid a lesson?
50
much is
quid, 50 quid an hour.
It? Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and we're learning how to drive how to pass the test. Okay, that's the be-all and end-all.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of learning how to drive and then passing your test when you're a competent driver, why have we, you know, so many people, fatalities, stuff like that on the roads? People are learning a certain route. We can practice the same route 100 times and go in and do our test, and we get that route and we know it backwards. So, but if we go to a different junction, we don't know how to handle that junction.
Yeah, but first of all, Anna, this is absolutely no consolation to anyone who's grieving because they've lost someone in a car.
Yes.
But the number of road fatalities, Noel, as you know, has reduced dramatically in the last 30 years in Ireland. Dramatically, thank God. Now, it's not enough, and we want to get to zero, and there's been a spike. Now, there's no, even to use the word spike is wrong, because we're talking about people losing their beautiful, beautiful lives and families being grieved. But the number overall in the last 30 years has come down dramatically. Now, we still have to push it down. But you're saying the problem is, I don't know if I'm getting your point, the problem is the instructors are training people at 50 quid a go to over 12 lessons, 600 quid to pass the test. But surely passing the test is proving, I presume they didn't develop the test for a laugh. It's not opportunity knocks. Passing the test is proof that you are a fairly competent driver, safe.
In 35, you made 2 points, Joe. 1971, over 640 people lost their lives on Irish roads. Exactly. We are way, way down on that.
Yeah,
okay,
great.
And
yeah,
my
yeah.
100, like, I do not treat this lightly. The reason I contribute here is not to make anyone's life any worse. I do other training in rooms and stuff like that, and this is one area that I don't like talking about because, like you say, it's someone's child, it's parent, sibling, whatever. But the whole system is everyone is learning how to drive, how to pass a test. And if you take someone and you eliminate driving test routes and you take a driving tester takes a person out for a half an hour, 45 minutes, and he goes, we go left here, we go right there, we go second exit, the roundabout, we go here, we go there. The applicant has to know how to drive. Not, oh, I know this roundabout, I know where I have to be here. Oh, my instructor taught me, I have to do this way here. But now, when we go to another town or village in Ireland and we come to a junction and we don't know what to do because it's not part of our test route. My point is we should be trying to teach people properly how to drive, and the test will then become a hell of a lot simpler because they're already competent in handling their vehicle.
And yeah, I know you say you do a bit of driver training. Have you any tips then for instructors to make them better?
The RSA are in charge of driving instructors. When they started off a couple of years ago with ADI, approved driving instructor, they started off with the best of intentions. I think at one stage they said, if I was going to teach to drive in a car, I would have to have a license category above that. So I would have to have a light commercial vehicle, a C1 or a D1, which would be a small truck or a small bus. So for me to train in a car, I'd have to have a higher category of license. So my standard would be higher than just a car driver. All this stuff went by the wayside.
their testing system, their application system. You get a new license every 2 years. You do not apply for you. You do not retain your driving instructor system. You apply every 2 years. It's not a renewal. It's a new license every 2 years. But you're check tested once in 2 years. You know, how much changes have we had in 2 years? Have I deteriorated in two years as an instructor? Do I not give what I used to give 6 months ago? You know, this thing about every time something happens on the road, politicians or human cry, more penalty points, more penalty points, more penalty points. And they have contributed to reduced accidents and fatalities, but they are not the be all and end all. What really needs people...
Well, fatality, I presume,
kids, children,
and I presume now, I'll come back to children, but I presume one of the reasons, the cars are much safer, roads are much better, the emergency services are much quicker, medicine is much quicker, hospitals are much... You know, there are new, I take that, the reason why the fatalities have thankfully decreased. They haven't decreased enough. But no, you're going to say there about children. Is this the transition year thing, or what are you suggesting?
Yes, the younger. There's some European countries and kids, young people coming out of college, they're almost transport managers. They have so much information coming out of college, they could almost sit a transport manager's course and operate a transport company. And here we are, we're still transition year. If we're lucky, some teacher might be progressive and try and arrange some instruction. The problem you have is, if they haven't got an L permit, they can't drive on the road. We haven't got an off-road facility for underage teaching where they're not out on the road.
That's a good point. You can't
bring a, you know,
that's a very good point.
16 years and 9 months. You can't bring that child
that why,
on,
I,
in your
I,
car.
I know you're based in Kerry now, but is that why, for example, it's no longer available? Is that why, say, Dottymount Strand in Dublin used to be very popular for training? In that it was... Well, it wasn't safe, but
technically
it was
off-road.
Technically
on a public
off-road.
Okay.
And you say we haven't. There's no such facility, is there, in Dublin, even given the capital? No.
As far as I know, there isn't.
The closest you get to it is somebody saying, "I'll go to an industrial estate on a Sunday morning when it's not busy." Yeah. Obviously. Okay, Nolik, good at Mila Mahaga. Joe at RT. Thanks, Nolik. Patricia Finn, Patricia, your point, please.
Hello, Joe. My point is that the young people that are learning how to drive, when they're doing their driving lessons, there is no area put in that, a module put in for them to do motorway driving. They're supposed to be an expert at that when they pass their test. There is nothing to do with the motorway driving. And it is very fast, like 120, and that's normal, and that's how it is.
Yeah, but remind people, Patricia, when you see 120 on a speed limiter and the dash of your car, it's not a target.
I totally agree. That's what it is. Well, by golly, you'd want to be on the motorways. Sometimes I drive between Kinnegad and Kilbeggan, and my God, what I see passing me, and there's not a guard in sight, obviously. On that stretch, I don't see. But the speed is unbelievable with some of the cars, what they pass me out, you know, doing. So, but the thing is, my son, our son here, he said it's daunting to actually, you know, when you get your test, when you pass your test, to be the young person without mummy or daddy, because that's all they can have with them. And they're not supposed to drive without an adult anyway that has a full license during the time that they're learning. But that's not the case either, we have found out from other people. Oh, but sure, look, you're only going down the road.
Learner drivers, but like there is a rule, learner drivers are not allowed on motorways.
They're not allowed. No, they're not allowed on motorways. But what I said, would it not be better if they were brought once or twice just to show them, like, how
the
difference.
But motorway driving can be...
Motorway driving is very is different. And we all... Any of us that
if you have a massive arctic on one side and a massive arctic on the other side, it's like driving down through the Grand Canyon as the Grand Canyon comes in on top of you at times. Mother of God, how people... Do you drive in a motorway yourself, Patricia?
Oh, I do, but I wouldn't be now. I wouldn't drive to Dublin or that. But I'd drive
would you not?
Part of
the,
no.
Why not?
I don't know. I'd just be quite a nervous driver.
Okay.
Like, you know?
Okay. Even though statistically, motorways are safer.
Oh, they are. Yeah, though they are all right. But I don't know. Yes, they are because it's all straight ahead.
Yeah, and you try and just stay within the speed limit and follow the car in front of you. Would you drive in Dublin city centre, Patricia?
Oh, my God, no.
Why not?
I would not.
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe it goes back to, like, my dad was killed when we were children in his own car by a drunken driver. I have a thing about drinking. No, I don't drink myself. But we were children when my dad was killed and my mum was left with three children and... You know, she couldn't drive. So I don't know. And she always, like, would have said to us when she's passed, sadly, now herself since. But she used to say that, like, you know, be very careful on the road when you're out and always let me know where you are. And we'd always have to, wherever we went. I think it was the shock at the time of what happened in her life. Like, he was just gone. You know.
Okay.
But maybe that's some of it. But, like, the other thing is... I just do think, going back to what I said about the young people, I think there should be something from the RSA to say that, or to for them to do a driving module on the motorway before they get the piece of paper. And now, yippee, I can have the piece of paper. I can drive in the back roads, every road, minor, major, and by golly, I can fly along on the motorway. And I have no experience of it whatsoever.
I'm just reading Brian Flanagan, who's a management expert. He's done some stats on this. He said traffic fatalities data to the end of July, which is about 3 weeks ago, indicates that benefits of April's wake-up call, I presume this was the tragedies and people being warned again and again and again, or being reminded, the benefits of April's wake-up call have disappeared as based on year-to-date trends, 2024, deaths for the full year might reach 210. That's a 14% increase year-on-year and would be the worst traffic record in 11 years. And remember, for every one of those, God forbid, if it was 210, you're talking about one, a beautiful, rich life being ended incredibly and statistically often very, very prematurely, and then the effect it has. OK, Patricia, go to Mila Malcolm, back after this break.
Thank you,
Joe, Patricia. Bye-bye.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
John Armas and Kerry. Joe at RT Daddy. Your point, please. John, you're a driving instructor.
I am, yeah. I work mainly in Cork City, but I also teach in Kerry part-time, because that's where I'm based, but my main contract is to teach in Cork. So... Cork City is a very busy test centre. The only place you can take your car test in Cork is Wilton. Ballincollig is for mopeds, bicycles, you know, bikes and trucks.
Okay, well,
it looks good for the stats, but it's not good for the learners.
Good point, okay. Yeah. And your observations generally on this whole scenario are what?
I suppose I get a lot of people who contact the school looking to get their lessons done, which is great. We'll do the 12 EDTs.
Yeah.
But the preparation, you need to have the driving experience and, you know, get some extra driving in. You can't pass with 12 hours driving in Cork or anywhere. So it is very hard for people who don't own a car, don't have access to a car, because then they're having to pay for driving school rates to get their practice in.
Because they have to get to pay for the car as well. And what is, just if you have your own or the use of a car, how much is this hour's instruction at the minute?
At the moment, our driving school, we charge €53 an hour, which is about average for Cork City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any ideas for improvements?
It's hard. There's been such a backlog, especially in Cork City. People are desperate to get on the waiting list and then they get an invitation book. Now, they have done some good options. They've allowed evening testing. There's more flexible hours. So
right.
you can if you can get a test date, there's tests, I think, going until 7:30 in the evening in the summer. Yeah. Obviously, when the winter comes, there won't be that option. And they do tests on Saturday as well in Cork. I don't know other centres, you know, the busy okay. ones, they may opt for them
and
Saturday,
John,
and Sunday.
John, would it be lucrative for you? Sorry, why don't you become a driving tester or apply?
I don't think it would be in my nature. I'd be too chatty, because that's one thing a lot of my students say. It was so quiet in the car when I did the driving test, because I would be talking to my students, telling them things, you know, prompting them. And then when you're on the test conditions, it's they tell you the road directions. They're looking at their you know, everything's marked now on a tablet. There's no paper or pad. It's yeah.
And you've ever spoken? I presume you get training to be a driver tester.
Now the instructors, the testers you have for the instructor course would be specialised. They would only be assessing driving instructors. They would be the more senior ones. Obviously, they've got to get to a certain quality.
No, but I'm saying, John, do you think, apart from you being gregarious, which is hardly, that's a superpower, for God's sake, being gregarious, but do you think you would pass the test to become a driving instructor? Do you follow me? Do you think you'd be able for it?
If I took it in Wilton tomorrow.
No. I'm asking you why they're looking. Am I right in saying they're looking for driver testers? I know they were a few months ago.
They probably are. Now, I know when they had the big recruitment drive last August.
Yeah.
Like everything, they weren't going to give people open contracts. From what I hear from the media, it was going to be limited contracts. So if the backlog gets finished, are they going to keep on all the people on temporary contracts? Are they 18-month contracts? That is just off the top of my head. I don't know what they were offered.
Obviously,
as a long-term career, you may not have job security.
So that was this time, wasn't it? This time last year, there was a big in.
Yes,
they took in a big tranche. Well, I know someone who got in, and he was absolutely thrilled. I won't say if they're male or female. They were absolutely thrilled to get in. I couldn't believe it. And they ran out of it after 6 weeks. They didn't like the atmosphere. They didn't like the ethos. They didn't like... Well, anyway, I wonder, what is the training for a driver tester? And can we get more? It'd be great if someone like you was.
It's the route is the same as a driving instructor. You start off, you do your instructor exams. Once you're qualified as a driving instructor, you can then apply to the RSA if they're looking for people, as best as I know.
And
then I think it's a 7-week training program, which you're under probation. They probably pay you for the training. And if you meet the requirements, then you're taken on.
John, when I was learning how to drive, I used to ask every driver I met, just give me one hint for driving. Just give me one. It need not be the most important.
What I tell all my students, remember, gear, observation, signal, handbrake. So when you're moving off, remember those. And you can put an O on the end if you want for observation again. So just
keep your head.
You finish your manoeuvre. Yeah. You're about to move back into the street. Remember,
keep your head moving. Keep your head moving.
Yes.
Okay, John Gurumina Margaret.
No problem. Thank you very much, John.
Jerry, you want to talk about, you're in Clonakilty, the test in Cork. What happened?
Yeah, hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Good, yeah, good. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, so, Joe, I did my test in 2008 in Skibbereen, West Cork. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was a student, so the law was coming in that you had to have a fully qualified driver with you at all times. So they were really enforcing that. So as you can imagine, as a student, I didn't have much money. I had a cheap Fiat Punto car, and I got my test in Skibbereen, and the instructor was ready to take me out, but before I went in, I was driving along the road and a light came on my dash.
Yeah.
And I was panicking, as you can imagine. He won't take me out now. So I opened my glove box and there was a picture of Paul Drapeau inside there. So I cut out the picture of Paul Drapeau and I put it on the dash of my screen.
to cover the flashing light.
Yes, the flashing light. I drove down anyway, and I was ready to take my test, and the instructor got in, and he sticking me out anyway. And we were going around the roundabout, and he said to me, "No, he hadn't spoken up to this time, but he said, are you a religious person? And I said, I am now. I said, I am, why? And he said, could you please take down that picture off your screen? So I took off the picture anyway, and he told me to go back to the driving test center, and he failed me there and then. I know, yeah. But after that then, Joe, I went out and I got the car fixed again, the problem. And my test was due for 3 weeks later. Now, it was a lot quicker back then. And on my way in, would you believe it, about 2 hours before the test, the light came back on the dash again.
Okay.
For my second test. So okay. I actually found there was another kind of a driving instructor in Skibbereen at the time.
Yeah.
And I asked him, would he take me out for a lesson in his car?
Yes.
Could I borrow his car as well? So he gave me a lesson anyway, and I conked his car 3 or 4 times. And I said to him, look, there's no point going in for this test. I'm not able to drive your car. And he said to me, look, go in, do the test. He said, if you pass, he said, you pay me. If you don't pass, I won't charge you for the hiring of the car or the lesson. So I went and did the test.
Yes.
And thankfully, I said the prayer to Padre Pio on my way in. And I passed, so I was delighted. So,
brilliant.
Yeah, that was my experience anyway of the driving test.
And how is your devotion to Padre Pio? Is it still...
Well, would you believe...
Still
well,
lighting as strongly, honest, still as burning as strongly as ever.
Well, I'm 37 years of age, Joe, and I spent last weekend in Knock for 2 days.
Now, there's two Knocks, as we discovered today. There's Knock Airport, or there's Knock the Shrine.
Oh, no, this is the Knock Shrine.
The Knock Shrine, okay.
Knock Shrine, yeah. So
you were there.
I was there last week, yeah. We stayed in the Knock House Hotel up there. It was a lovely experience, actually.
Okay. And did you do the Shrine? Did you do the devotions? Do you mind me asking?
Oh, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, just an interesting experience. When I was there last week, I was with my mother-in-law. And as I say, I'm 37, and I never went to confession, only since my confirmation. So I went to confession all up there, and I had a big chat with the priest in the room. He was asking about Clonakilty and everything, and his experience down in Clon and Baltimore and West Cork and everything. So I went in for confession. I ended up talking about Clonakilty black and white pudding with a priest. So great experience.
Okay,
highly
well
recommend.
Have you done Loch Derg?
No, I haven't done Loch Derg, but we were in the Hill of Tara yesterday, and we do Crowpatrick once a year as well. So
okay,
that's my penance.
Okay, and you mentioned priests, and as you know, there was a very serious incident in Galway last night. A chaplain to a member of the Defence Forces, who was a chaplain, Father Paul F. Murphy, originally from Waterford, I think, very popular man. He was stabbed, and we wish him a very, very speedy recovery. It looks like a very serious but non-life-threatening. But anyway, anyone who prays, I'm sure they will pray, and anyone who wishes people well will wish Father Paul Murphy well. Good Jerry. Thank you indeed.
Slán.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Murphy, Joe, go. Joe. Okay, you there, Joseph? There you are, Joe.
Hi.
Off you go. Your theory, please. It's fascinating. About the lottery.
That's right, Jess. I sent you there some statistics, which basically my main bugbear is that there are too many numbers in the lottery for the number of people playing. And this is why we have such large rollovers. And also, not many people are winning any great amounts, from week to week.
And when is the last time, for example, the jackpot was won? Do you know that?
The jackpot was last won, I think it's now 13 draws back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I actually compiled the figures that you may have in front of you there, that's based on 11 of the weeks.
Okay. Your chances of winning the jackpot are what?
Just under 11 million to one.
11 million to one?
Yeah.
Okay. You have your chances of winning the lotto, winning anything in the lotto, decreased?
They have. When the Canadian Pension Fund took over the lotto back in 2015, they added two extra numbers to the draw, as well as putting up the per line price.
So it went from 50 to a euro, didn't it?
No, it went to 2 euros.
Or two, okay, that was okay. The first price increase is €52, and remember we did it, and they said it was the first increase in 16 years, and that blah, other lottery draws, etc., etc., etc. So what is the sting of your? You want to ask the question: why have your chances of winning the lotto decreased so dramatically, and why has nobody been talking about it?
Yeah, exactly. I think the last time that there was anything even mentioned in the government was that one of the TDs asked a question of the lottery to remove the two numbers they added to the total. Yeah. Because this would bring down the odds back down to around, I think, something around 8 million to 1 to win it. Okay. So that was the reason for his thing at the time. Now, as I say, I can look here and give you more information.
Okay. Well, you see, there's a current advertising campaign saying the lotto has created 1,000 millionaires. But that's over the 40 years, isn't it? Okay, the lotto
said... Yeah, and also not just on the basic lotto draw. I think that's including the Euro Millions and all the other draws where there's been a chance to win a million.
Like the Christmas ones they do where the only... The main prize
the
is a million. And at Christmas, the tickets are, what, 25 quid a go or whatever for that millionaire?
Yeah.
Okay, the lot... You're right. Now, at least we have these statistics, Joe... About the lotto, because we've asked, I know News Talk do their non-stop cash call, which is pure gambling, as we know. They never reveal how many entries they get. They never reveal what your chances are of winning. And it is pure gambling. It has all the characteristics. Every presenter, I presume, has to slavishly sell the cash call prize to try and get people listening and people to put money in, but we never, and nobody seems to be interested in finding out what are your chances of winning on the news. Well, it's not just News Talk; it's the whole 25 stations they own. You don't get that impression listening to it. You think it is just one station, but then again, I can be accused of bias, but I'm not. I'm very fair, and I'm not going to News Talk or anywhere in the near future. But at least the lotto tell us. But this is what the lotto will tell us. News Talk won't tell us because we did ask them. There was no winner of Wednesday's lotto jackpot. That's this week. However, over 59,000 players won prizes in the lotto and the lotto plus draws last night. Okay, well, that could be small amounts. But hang on.
This is €3. I've won it many a time.
€3, okay. But this is now evidence for your theory, but at least they are giving us, as I say, the lotto are giving us the evidence.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
On the 14th of August, which is this week, these are the biggest wins this month. In the 14th of August, the biggest win of Lotto Plus 2 top prize was won by someone in Kildare, and he won, or she won, or they won €250,000. On the 10th of August, two players from Kerry and Monaghan matched five numbers and a bonus number in the main lotto draw, and they won €86,000 each, which is not, which is a great money if you can get it. But on the 6th of August, a Euro Millions player from Galway. Now that's a different. You buy different tickets for that. The Euro Million player from Galway matched five numbers and one lucky star and won €121,000. On the 2nd of August, the 2nd of August, Dublin Euro Millions player wins Euro Million plus top prize of 500,000. Okay.
But they're all additional draws, Joe. Well, I'm talking about your standard 6.47 lotto normal game that most people play for €2 a line with a minimum play cost of about €4, right? You have to buy two lines. Now, they are now advertising since back about May, I think it was. You've probably seen the ad for the Euro Dreams where a fella comes to the door and tells them that they've won 20,000 a month for 30 years.
Yeah.
Looking back at the statistics of that, over the last 25 draws of that, no one has won more than €150.
All right.
Not one person participating in it. And they're trying, nobody even got the 2,000 a month one.
Okay.
That's a single one-off payment, not per month. It's 150 total that they won. That was the highest prize in 25 weeks of the draw.
And you're saying nobody? I'm looking at
well,
the
you
ad.
Can look it up now.
No, I know. I trust you, Joseph. Mm. Repeat it. You're saying the National Lottery have been advertising this prize or some fella it called? Something of Dreams. Okay. Fella knocks on your door and says you've won 20 grand every month for the next 20 years.
30 years. Yeah.
Now, these ads have been going on for how long? A year? 2 years?
Well, I can kind of pick back to May. Now, it might be prior. That's all I
and
look
you're
back
say, yeah,
to.
And you're on the ball. And, Joe, you're saying what your man is doing in that ad has never actually happened. No one has actually ever won it.
No.
Wow. Joe, stay there.
And it's not just
stay
open
there.
To Ireland.
Stay there,
it's,
Joe,
when
I
Europe.
Consult. Stay there, Joe. I'll consult my lawyers back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Murphy. Joe, what do you do in real life? How come you develop such
a... I'm retired, Joe. I wouldn't have time to be doing all this
I know, but, well, you're bang on. First of all, you tell me that the chances, if you buy the lotto, your lotto tickets, your chances of winning for every ticket bought are 1 in 10, in 11 million.
Just, well, it's 10.8 or something million.
Okay, okay.
So 11 million rounding it off.
Wow, okay. Now, you also say you've been tracking it and the lotto jackpot was not won this week. I can now confirm it wasn't won on the 10th of August, the 7th of August, the 3rd of August. No lotto winner, no jackpot winner, no lotto jackpot. 31st of July, no winner, lotto jackpot. 27th of July, no winner, lotto jackpot. 24th of July, no winner, lotto jackpot. 20th of July, no winner, lotto jackpot. 17th of July, no winner, lotto jackpot. 13th of July, no winner, lotto jackpot. 10th of July, no winner, lotto jackpot.
Yeah, but even more important, Joe, I have the figures here, but from the 7th of this month back, the top prize won by anybody was, the previous week was 1,200, week before 1,700, 2,600, and then there was on the 17th of the 7th, somebody got 5 plus the bonus, and they got just over 500,000, so that was the big prize in the last 11 draws. The week before, or the draw before that, you were looking at 1,300, 1,500, 900. So, you know, hundreds, not thousands.
Okay. This is jaw-dropping. The list of the top prize, even though I've read out on behalf of the lotto, they say Euro, but they are, you're right, they are quoting Euro Millions and other draws and all this carry on. But you're saying the top prize amounts won. If I go in and buy a straightforward lotto ticket, okay? You're saying the top prize amounts won for the last 11 draws are as following. 1,200 quid, 1,700 quid, 2,600 quid, 550,000, 1,300 quid, 1,500 quid, 900 quid, 1,300 quid, 2,000, 1,300 quid and 1,300. They were the top prizes.
They were, and I know from experience, I've been playing since 87, and I twice have had five numbers. The last time I had it, the top prize was 13 million. I got 1,100 euros for five numbers.
And they say this week, 2,063 euro was won by 11 people for matching five numbers.
Yeah.
You match five
prize,
numbers.
In other words.
You match five numbers. And that's we're now up today. You match five numbers, which I thought was nearly impossible. The odds were very...
Well, I've done it, as I say, twice in whatever number of years since 86.
But anyone who match five numbers this week only got 2 grand.
Yeah, that's big money.
Joseph, I'm saying I'm driving everywhere. I see this massive advertising campaign, 1,000 millionaires created by the National Lotto. I turn on the telly and there's this fella on a motorbike who knocks on your terrace hall door, and there's a group of women in the living room or whatever, and they're having the chats, and he says you've won 20 grand and she says yuppie whoopee and all that carry on. He says, for what's the 20 grand every month for the next 20 years?
Yeah, 30 years.
But you say no one has ever won that?
No. And it's not just confined to Ireland, by the way.
Are we dopes?
So your chances...
Are we dopes?
You could be Europe.
Like, if you saw your five numbers coming up on the draw, the Wednesday or the Saturday or whatever, if you saw five numbers coming up, you'd be flying around to O'Brien's to buy champagne. But then you discover, if you got the five numbers, in the last 12, you won either $2,000. You won on average, not on average, the median figure you won, or the most common figure, sorry, that was won in those 11 weeks was 12, 13, 15, 17, 100 quid. And at one stage, if you got five numbers, imagine getting five numbers in the lotto, running around, booking holidays, okay?
Mm.
Paying off the mortgage in the house. Telling the husband to get out once and for all. I'm a free woman now. I have my own independent income, or versa versa. And you won 978 quid for five numbers.
Mm. And I know the feeling because it's happened to me.
What, your wife told you to get out?
No, so you get the notification.
I know, well spotted. I know News Talk would say, well, we're a commercial enterprise and there's no obligation whether we're making, to tell you whether we're making 5 million a year. We've no obligation to tell people how many entries they are. And, you know, they encourage people to make as many. We didn't know that until we did on the programme. They actually get back on. If you enter with your text number, they'll come back to you and say, do you want to enter three more times for the price of two? But you're never told what the odds are. Never, ever. Mm. And it's a push non-stop. And even I heard Luke O'Neill this week. He was a respected scientist, stroke medic. I know he's not a doctor as such, but Luke O'Neill slavishly reading out the cash. I know that's his job, but the reading out, and he'd be the very one. He's a fantastic scientist. He'd be the very one saying, don't gamble. Be careful gambling. It is gambling, and it is gambling. Okay, but that's a bloody tuna job. Apparently, Mohill GAA, Joseph, Mohill GAA give out 2,500 every week in their 50-50 draw.
Yep, I wouldn't be surprised. I used to play the numbers in the bookies.
So hang on, Mohill in County Leitrim. It's a long, do you know Mohill? It's a long, beautiful, it's a long main street. And the longer it gets, the mainer it gets. But it's a beautiful, very friendly town. Okay, Mohill in County Leitrim, in their GAA draw, right? They say they give out a guaranteed 2,500. We'll check. A guaranteed 2,000 every week. Okay? That means last week someone won more in Mohill than any single individual on the lotto the previous week.
With much lower odds.
Okay, the other week that was the previous week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, in 10 out of the last 11 lotto draws, I conclude, in 11 out of the last 12 lotto draws, someone in Mohill has won more in their weekly GAA draw than anyone in the National Lottery tickets purchaser. So what is your thesis?
My thesis is the lotto is a great moneymaker for whoever owns it.
The argument with the lotto is good causes and all that carry on.
Oh, yeah. Well, I get a little receipt each day. I do it digitally now since COVID. But I get a little receipt saying how much my I've paid goes to charities. But the thing is, I was just listening about the running tracks and everything else.
Yeah.
That's the kind of places that money should be going.
Here.
Infrastructure for young people and facilities, not to some well-to-do golf club somewhere or similar. I won't go into details.
Whatever the relevant minister happens to be living. Yeah,
exactly. No, it's not even that because I don't think they have that power anymore. The lotto was bought in 2015 by the French teachers, what they call a pension fund. They sold it last year, as far as I'm aware, to the French lottery. Now, no French lottery company is going to buy a bad egg. Must be a money-making operation. Well, but the people who are not getting the money are the people who are playing.
Okay, I think That would be jaw-dropping if people hear those figures. And the last 12 out of 13 draws, the maximum win in the last 12 out of 13 draws has been 2,698 euro.
Yeah, something like that, all right, yeah.
And another...
The thing is, nobody looks them up. This is it. I look up me if I've won, and if I do get a prize, I look up to see how many numbers to get that prize. In the last few months, I've won prizes of 12... 9 and 3.
Okay. The National Lottery is a monopoly given to them by the Irish people through the state. And it's an incredible monopoly. Maureen Lynch in Mohill. Maureen.
Joe, I'm on a busy road. I'm the road to Knock Airport, so I can't stay on long with you. Okay. That's the truth about... Okay. The truth about Mohill Lottery. We have that 50-50 draw, and you're... if it's 2560 last week.
Yeah.
And they're all local people winning. It's brilliant, yeah. Aye.
And how much do I have to spend?
Five for a ticket, or you can get 3 for a tenner.
And is someone guaranteed to win 2.5 every week? 2,500
You're not guaranteed, but it has happened. It has happened. Okay. That every week we have that, yeah.
So generally you're saying... Somebody.
Well, if you look back at our records, one week, I think it was nearly 3,000. Yeah.
Okay.
It's online and on everything like that, but it's mostly locals.
Okay, well done. Well, you seem to be giving out more money up in Mohill than the National Lottery are in Dublin.
Oh, we're far better. We're far better than the National Lottery, yeah.
Now, are you parked there, Maureen?
I have to pull out now.
But Jesus, don't. Maureen, stop it now. Don't be acting the Egypt for me. You're going to Knock.
I'm going to Knock, yeah.
Are you going to the Basilica in Knock?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely not. I'm going to collect people coming on the airport.
Oh, the airport, sorry. There's two Knocks. There's Knock Airport. Yeah. Okay. Well, then when you take a time before pulling out and drive carefully, Maureen, please. Please. Okay, darling.
I never had to pass a test. Because I'm too old.
And what, were you one of those people who...
We never had to do a test.
Remember that, Sylvester Barrett, back in the 1970s, he said anyone waiting for a test to clear the backlog, he said everyone has automatically passed, end of. Okay, Maureen, will you drive carefully, please? Please.
I will, Joe. Don't you worry, darling.
Okay, darling. Yeah. Okay. Have a nice weekend. That's Maureen Lynch. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Okay, back to the lotto and the odds and this incredible stat that the average, the most common amount won, the maximum most common amount won in the last 12 a lot of draws has been in the region of, wait for it, if you got five numbers, 2,000 euro max. 2,000 euro. Owen Martin, go on, advertise. Is it Cockhill Celtic? Where are they based?
They're based in just outside Buncrana and County Donegal, Joe.
Okay, and what's your offering?
We're going together with two other clubs, Clarendon IFC and Aya Football Club. The three of us is playing in the Amish Home League. But we're running a draw for 200,000 euro top prize on New Year's Day. And the tickets are 100 euro. And if anybody wants one, they can go on Club Funder and type in 200k for New Year's Day.
Okay, and it is.
And the tickets are limited to 8,000 tickets. So a lot better odds than the National Lottery, I think, if you listen to your show nearly all.
Okay. Okay. When is that draw taking place?
On New Year's night.
Okay.
New Year's evening.
You're selling 8,000 tickets, 100. Well, it's a lot of money. 8,000 tickets, 100 quid a lash. And does every single penny go into... the prize... Okay. The prize draw...
Yeah, that's the top
for
prize.
For 200k, okay.
Loads of other prizes. There's early payment.
And there is a guarantee. It's a lot for the ticket, but it is a guaranteed winner.
Oh, guaranteed one on New Year's night. Somebody's life's going to change forever.
Okay. Were you surprised to hear if you got five numbers in the lot on the last 12 draws, the most common amount you won was under 2 grand?
Oh, it's a disgrace.
Okay, Owen, we'll leave it at that. Good to meet him, good, Owen. And by the way, Father Paul Murphy, who I mentioned, the army chaplain who was stabbed last night in a very serious incident, he's posted on Facebook, friends, thank you for your prayers, love and concern. Sorry, Father Paul, you're seriously injured. Sorry that I can't reply to all messages and take all the calls coming my way. I'm doing okay, just awaiting surgery. All will be well. And for everyone this weekend, be enjoying the magnificent electric picnic. Look after each other. And if you're going out in the good weather that's ahead of us, please, especially young people, one of you in the group, take a leadership position if anything gets messy, and look after each other. That's the most important thing. And the same applies to cars. On Soundmarked Wire, broadcast coordinator Shane Galvin, producer Richard Stern, series producer Nett Egan. Anna Geary is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Harry Curry. The outlook just got even brighter with further reductions all summer. In store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.